But you had mentioned earlier that your children were in Catholic school. Did you just decide to send them to Catholic school, or had you become?
I converted.
When was that?
It was during a period when I was divorced from my husband, and I don't know, I was nervous, and see, before I had divorced him, I had been to the doctor. The doctor said I had exaggerated nervous tension, and he had the occasion to talk to my husband a couple of times, and I was having problems. Oh, it was crying jags, you know, and I was about 35 then, and so he told me that my body was beginning to undergo a change, and he said the type of person that my husband was, a reckless person, that I'd either have to accept him or he'd have to recommend me live without him. So at that time, I just, no damn bastard is going to drive me crazy, you know. So I got myself together, and the kids were of an age where they were going to private school. They were going to a Baptist private school.
What did you decide to leave for private school?
Well, I had sent my oldest boy to a private school. I never had like the public school system here in Los Angeles from years back. And so my oldest boy had gone, but he had gotten polio. And so he was out for a year. And then when I sent him back, I just, you know, I figured that he probably couldn't keep up. So I sent him to public school, but I'm sorry I didn't. So that's the reason I didn't want these kids to go to public school. So then they were going to this Baptist school. And I don't know, my sister had converted, and then my aunt had converted. And so the way she talked about it, I thought maybe it was something. I went to investigate. And when I went to investigate, I found that it was something that I wanted to try. And I tried, and it seemed to have brought me what I needed at that time, a little inner peace.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't really brought the kids up in any religion. So I thought, well, you know, bring them up Catholic. So that's all they've ever known is Catholicism.
Now, your oldest brother, Richard, he was about how old were you when you married Russell?
He was about 6, I think.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, 1950, 41. No, he was older than 6. He must have been 6 when I met Russell. Yeah, and let's see, 50, he had to be 9 years old. He was 9 years old.
So, just checking this out.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that we know that it is picking up some of our conversation, you had said that that he was about 6 or so, a little older than that.
Let's see, he was 7. He was 6, I think, when I met Russell.
And how old was he when he got polio?
Well, he must have been 7, because he got polio. He started to school when he was 5. And he was 6 when he got polio. Well, I was with Russell then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I was with Russell when he got polio.
Mm-hmm.
So he was 6.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have any later problems?
No, he had no problems. They caught it in time. He had the Sister Kenny treatments.
Oh.
And he went through the incubator period, you know, where it's contagious.
Yeah.
And then they felt like he needed more care because all his muscles had I forgot what they call it, but all his muscles.
Like
an
atrophy or where they don't. When they
his feet went flat and everything. Mm-hmm. So he was in Children's Hospital for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came out, I was working for the police department. I got a leave of absence because I had to take him back so often for therapy. Plus I had to keep up the warm baths and the exercises. So he has no residual things from it.
So, did you ever have any, did he ever have any trouble getting along with Russell or anything like that?
Oh, they got along just perfectly. As a matter of fact, he lives in Russell's house now.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like a father to him, you know. Even though I did introduce him to his real father, and he tried to get a relationship with his real father, but he couldn't. He always thought of Russell as his father.
Uh-huh. So there weren't any problems as far as that?
No.
Yeah. So, anyway, you were saying before that you had married Benny and then divorced him. About what year were you divorced?
I think it was about 65, 65 or 66. I think it was 65. I don't know. I used to be able to remember dates so well, but now I just really blank.
Yeah, that's 15 or 70 years ago. That's what
makes it. Oh, I can't even remember what I had for dinner the other day, you know.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
So from there, you said you were working at the time that you got divorced.
Uh-huh.
And that was, let's see, I'm trying to get straight on what the last job we were with was. That was
I told you that I had gone to work for the county in 64.
Right.
April the 1st of 64, I went to work at Air Pollution Control.
That was it.
And I stayed there about 8 months.
Uh-huh.
And then my sister had been working for probation. And she was talking about how nice it was. So I went on an interview, and I transferred. Let's see, I went to work in April. In February the 15th, I transferred to probation department, and I've worked off and on for probation ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I get 20 days vacation now. You know, even though I quit and go back, they still count my seniority. The only thing that I lose is my retirement, because I draw my retirement. With kids, I had to have some money, so I'd have to quit. Well, sometimes when I quit, I have little jobs in between. But when I quit in 77, I hadn't planned to go back. And a girlfriend of mine was working at Las Padrinas, and she said, "Oh, girl, it's nice over here, it's nice over here." And she persuaded me to be reinstated another time. And the place is about to kill me. Oh, it's a madhouse. That's a juvenile hall for delinquent kids.
Do you come much in contact with
them? Mm-hmm. We come in contact. They say that we can't eat the food there because we don't come in contact with the kids. But when they're short staff, I've even had to take girls in the restroom and search them.
Wow.
Or else, you know, take them over to the tank and lock them up and so forth. But we come in contact with the kids. And because we're like in an office like this. Here's the boys holding tank over here. Here's the girls holding tank over here. And so we're surrounded by kids at certain periods of time. If they're going to make a movement to another juvenile hall, the kids are over here in this tank, and they're looking over your shoulder, you know, and looking, there's glass in between, you know. Or else they're knocking on the window, you know, to get your attention. Or else if they're in the tank, they can just barely see, and they'll be saying, Miss, can I have a phone call? Can I use the phone? When are we going to eat? What time is it? And when they ask what time it is, I say, well, what time you got to be there? Oh, they'll say, you know. So it's interesting. It's interesting, except that, you know, administration for probation is just shot. And I'm really just tired of working, period. I had gotten a little enthusiasm just before Christmas. I said, well, when summer, when I get my vacation, I'm going to take time off and try to get me a real nice job. But I'm just tired of working now. I can't compete. I just can't.
Mm-hmm. Do you, when you, in the time since then, were you ever afraid, like, the time, say, when you were divorced, about being able to support yourself or living without a man?
No. I think I adjusted to it. One thing, I was quite wrapped up in my kids.
Uh-huh.
My kids were everything. There was a certain period when I had one pair of shoes, and I was wearing hand-me-downs,
uh-huh,
so my kids could have. I was really gung-ho about the kids. Mm-hmm. And it just never bothered me. Like, when I divorced Russell, I had a boyfriend, but it was like I was very discreet. And Russell gave me a lot of problems after divorce. He, you know, I didn't restrict his visitation, so he'd come over to see the kids, but it was mostly to see what I was doing. Uh-huh. And I had a few problems. I had to take him back to court to make him leave me alone. Uh-huh. And it just never bothered me. It was just the kids. And then when I got into Catholicism, and, you know, it's like the kids had to do this and they had to do that. Well, you know, and then I gave them dance and lessons, mm-hmm. tried to give them piano lessons, you know, tried to teach them some culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all while battling against their father. So after I had this boyfriend when we were first divorced, well then, like when Benny came on the scene, he tried to, you know, raise a little hell about that. Then after we got married, well, you know, he tried to say a few things then, but the court had warned him about harassing me, so he didn't say as much as he probably would have ordinarily. Mm-hmm. And so after Benny, I just gave up. Mm-hmm. I just gave up as far as, because the kids were old enough then. See, they didn't like Benny, and they showed it. Mm-hmm. And it was a mistake I made, you know. And so they were miserable. Not exactly miserable, but they didn't like it. And so whatever my kids like, didn't like, you know, well, I wasn't going to subject them to it. Uh-huh. So I went on and divorced him, and I decided after then, well, that was it. No more men in my life. I had a guy that I liked, a couple of guys that I liked, and I'd go out with, and I can't say that the youngest was the most vocal. My oldest daughter had married, but the youngest one, she was at home, and she thought she was mistress of the house, you know. So it was like, oh, mother, so-and-so, and the guys were younger. Oh, that's embarrassing, you know. And I said, look here, I'm not going to marry them, you know, but they're single and I'm single. Why can't we just have some fun? And so they never would let me have a relationship with a man. Uh-huh. You know, they didn't approve of anybody. Uh-huh. I think Ed was the only person they really approved of. He was about my age. And every time he'd come over, he'd bring them something. So they approved of him. Not to marry, though. Uh-huh. So it went on until finally, you know, it just dwindled down to nothing. So after I had moved, that's when I started going to school, I started crocheting. I just started doing things that would occupy my time and get me away from the idea. And then in 72, when I started taking all this medication, then my desire for sex was, you know, it's diminished through the years. So that's the reason I can get along without a man. Mm-hmm. I told my daughter, especially the youngest one, I told her one time, she said something about, well, Mother, why don't you just go? Just go someplace. I said, you didn't let me have a man. I said, do you think I'm going to go trotting around here by myself? I said, okay, you didn't let me have a man. I said, so consequently, I don't have anybody. What do you expect to do with me? She says, well, that's a good question. What to do with you?
So you mentioned you went back to school. Were you studying for anything special?
Well, I was majoring in psychology. Uh-huh. I just went to school just to be doing something. Uh-huh. And then after I had gotten so many units, oh, I was off and on. And then after I gotten so many units, then I decided to go for a degree. Uh-huh. So I went for the AA degree, and I'm as proud of my AA degree as anybody is of their PhD.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Compton, uh-huh. and I enjoyed every minute of it.
It was a really nice community.
Yeah, I was a little shy at first because I was older, and uh-huh. I didn't know how they would accept me, and I was afraid to say anything. Uh-huh. And after about the first year, you know, because there was one class I had, Social One, and that guy was such a big mouth, and
I wanted to tell him something. Finally, I learned that all you do is just come out and talk. And I was in a psychology class one time, and somebody said something. I said, look, whatever it was something about what men will do. I said, yes, they will. I said, they will do so and so. And I went on and voiced my opinion. Oh, yeah. But after class, everybody was running up to me. So it got so that I was known on the campus for my big mouth. Not, you know, big mouth. But, yeah, I remember one class, I had a political science class. And it was on a Saturday morning. And it was another guy in there. He would say something, and I said, what do you mean? We'd take over the class, and it was kind of a large class. You couldn't hear, and the instructor, oh, he'd like to, sometimes we'd come in, and we'd be quiet, and we'd just sit, you know, and he'd look at us, and then he'd say something, and this guy over there would make him, no, and then we'd get to going, and then he'd sit back. That's what he wanted to get us going.
Time off, huh?
Uh-huh. And then he would have guest speakers. And I would listen to the guest speakers, and I'd be taking little notes, you know. And then they'd say something. I said, ooh. And then when they get through speaking and ask for questions and answers, my hand would go up. Now, you said so-and-so and so-and-so. And I know one day, boy, I really lit into one of the guest speakers. And when we got out of class that morning, oh, they crowded around me and said, sure is glad you took him down a peg or two. They wouldn't say anything. They'd leave it up to me. But then this was really cute. This was kind of an older white guy. Speech two. I had to take that class because I had scheduled myself for the health class. I needed that. And, but they closed it because it wasn't enough students. So I took this speech two class. I sat way in the back, and I said, I didn't want the class, but my counselor had suggested that I take it, and since it was available on Saturday morning, I took it. I was trying to get units, you know, to graduate. And so I sat in the back, and I don't know how that guy learned my name, but somehow he learned my name, and I was trying to be... You know, I mean, it wasn't particular about the class, but I know how he learned my name. Our first speech was an introduction of ourselves. Mm-hmm. He'd give us the outline, and then we were to write the speech, and then we'd have to hand it to him, and then present the speech, and we got graded on the way we presented it. So when I got it that day, and, you know, I've been used to speaking in public. So that's the reason I felt I didn't need it, need the class.
Where did you learn to speak? Mm-hmm.
Well, just speaking, period, throughout my life, you know. And so, you know, I gave the speech, and oh, everybody just clapped. In fact, from then on, he would get on some subjects, and he'd say, well, now, what do you think about it, Jesse Knott? And I said, well, I think so-and-so and so-and-so, you know. And I tried, there wasn't so much discussion, you know, not like a discussion class. And the kids would tease me when we'd have break. I remember, she works down at April Johnson. She was going to school to be a nurse. She works LP where I do. And she said, my goodness, she said, he sure like you, she said. He just, Jesse Knott. She said, he don't know nobody else's name, but Jesse Knott. And then we get back, he'd say, Jesse Knott, are you ready to give your speech? Well, yes, whatever his name was, Mr. So-and-so, I guess I'll give it now. That was very good, very good, you know.
Sounds like you really enjoyed school.
I did. I really did. When I finally learned how to open up, you know, then, and not be afraid to say anything, and then... particularly in my psychology classes, you know, especially we had Black men in contemporary society. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a lot to say then, and those guys could be saying, but no, yes, you know.
What kinds of things did you talk about?
Well, that was like the Black woman being the matriarch of the home, you know, and the relationship between the black man and the black woman, mm-hmm. and then we touched on how the black men are becoming homosexuals more so, you know, and what are the black women going to do, you know, no men, and I can't remember everything in detail. We had a textbook, and we take, we deviate a lot, though, because our instructor was a homosexual,
uh-huh.
and we deviate a lot, but he was good. He knew his business. He taught at El Camino and at Compton, and then worked for the county during the day,
uh-huh.
so he was very good, and I liked him very much.
So, have you ever thought of going, continuing on to school or just going back to
school? Well, I graduated in June of 78,
uh-huh.
and I said, well, I was tired of school. I didn't want to go anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know it. My kids were so proud of me. All of them were there but Richard.
Uh-huh.
And I invited them to the house. I had an apartment full, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I bought drinks, and Carol bought chicken, and kids were running around, and we just had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that summer, I was just relaxing. Usually before, I could hardly wait for school to start.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm through now. I'm through. So Vicki was the one. Well, first I told her, I said, well, Vicki, we got to go. We got to go,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I backed down. She says, no, come on, let's go. So we go over there and we enroll in Cal State Dominguez.
Mm-hmm.
She takes, what did she take? Some kind of history class. And when I was checking, my major was psychology, right? So I looked at, you know, I got the catalog and I looked, and a lot of the psychology classes had a prerequisite
mm-hmm.
of stats,
mm-hmm.
statistical analysis in psychology.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm going to take the stats course first, and then I'll have a prerequisite for some of the other courses.
Mm-hmm.
I was only going to take one class. I got enrolled and everything, and I was late enrolling. But I got to class on the first day because I got everything taken care of. I tried my best. I went for 3 weeks. That stats was beating my butt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was really beating my butt. He says, it's very simple. It's very simple. We had video classes. We went twice a week. I was going in the morning instead of going at night. It had really raised my blood pressure. I was struggling with that class so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was understanding, but every Tuesday when we'd have a quiz, I kept getting lower and lower
mm-hmm.
and lower.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, no. And I just woke up one morning. I says, well, I don't have to go to school.
Did you had done well in math in high school,
right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had. Algebra, advanced algebra, geometry, trigonometry.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had all that. But it wasn't so much, I don't know, it wasn't the math part.
Uh-huh.
So, because actually it wasn't math. You know, like your samples and your, I can't think of some of the terms that they were used. Well, just like in psychology, if you want to test, and how you would do this sample,
mm-hmm.
you know, then you have a formula that you go by. But I never could figure out how you put the figures in the formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a little different than algebra. And I guess being away from algebra so long, you know, so I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And it was such a relief. My blood pressure went down after I couldn't get my money back, but I said I didn't care.
Yeah. When you think of like yourself now where you are, what do you see in terms of your future?
Oh, if I could just retire and just walk the streets.
Uh-huh.
My cousin, I think it's next month, has some tickets that her son had bought her mother
uh-huh.
to go to the music center. And like, I guess the tickets are a discount because they're through the week,
mm-hmm.
like on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a seasonal type thing where they have these plays. And see, I have gone, well, to the Mark Taper
mm-hmm.
for these plays. I've seen some very good things.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's invited me to share one of those tickets. Now, I like going to things like that. I just love the Music Center.
Uh-huh.
I like going to the theater and Ice Capades. I've never seen the Ice Capades. And like this play, Your Arms Too Short to Box with God.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to see that. A girl had promised that she was going, and on the day we were supposed to go, she called a couple of days before that she couldn't. I like those type things. The ballet, which I've never been able to go. I can't find anybody who likes the same things as I do.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason I had decided against a man, because I can't find a man who likes those things.
Mm-hmm.
Men, let's face it, all they want is a good romp in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm past that now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm past that. Give me a little something else, you know, before you romp in the bed. So, I would like to do things like that, and then like at home, my crocheting, my sewing, and as I said before, you know, quilting,
mm-hmm.
and then to keep a little money coming in, a little tithing,
uh-huh.
because I think the tithing would be good for the arthritis in my hands.
Uh-huh. Let me think.